Welcome everybody to PlayStation 5, a Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the reviews, and the
Mortal Kombat rumors.
Rumors on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. Vykarth, how are you?
Doing well.
Well. Dan, how are you? Doing well. Okay. Mortal Kombat 1. Kombat! Get over here!
That was actually not bad, Dan. That was not bad. Give Ed Boon a run for his money. We are doing a review today of the game, which Dan and I have both finished it. Well, we finished the story. We've played a lot of, I guess, invasions. You know, we've sort of played online, had a bit of experience on everything. Yeah, so what do you think, Dan?
Well, the only thing, I haven't played the new mode, so I'm going to have to get you to run me through that. Yeah. Okay. But I've played online, story, practice, everything else, basically.
Yeah.
They every time I play one of their games, I am reminded that they are the best at what they do. Mm. And that they are the premium fighting game developer in the world, aren't they? When it comes to graphics, no one can touch them, besides the Nintendo Switch. if you saw that version, that was pretty bad.
Oh, man, that was terrible.
Yeah, but that's so limitations bad. Of hardware. They shouldn't put that out, should they? Let's be honest. But
what I see is they shouldn't be charging $70.
Yeah.
And we've long said this, or I've long said this at least, is that the Switch, we knew its limitations. Like, the Switch is not a powerful console, and it's not meant to be. So, I mean, I don't know who's wanting to play Mortal Kombat on the Switch anyway. But that being said, the console of the Switch is designed for Nintendo products. You know, it is such a weak console, a weak system compared to Xbox and PlayStation that, yeah, you're going to obviously get these sort of issues with trying to run these sort of AAA games on a Switch, you know, unless they're developed and optimized like all of Nintendo's first-party titles for the Switch, you're going to have these issues.
But yeah, apparently there's numerous bugs, graphics aren't good, poor quality port.
I saw Johnny Cage's fatality. And like the little blood are like pixels. They're like little, like they're almost like little sprites and, rather than like the liquid. And it just looks so funny. Like, this is PlayStation 2, but it's horrific seeing some of these screenshots.
But on PS5, man, it's one of the best looking games,
mate.
The graphical fidelity of when you get it up close as well in those intros. Really cool facial expressions and even the level design, like behind when you're fighting, those arenas are so cool. Like, I love Johnny Cage's mansion. That is such a good level.
It looks so good, doesn't it? It looks beautiful.
They all look good.
It's what I love about the game, like you said, Dan, it, that production value of the stages, the story, the character models, like, it is really, I mean, I think the big crowning achievement for me is the story for any Mortal Kombat game. I'm probably one of the rare fans of the game. Like, I love Mortal Kombat. Like, Dan, you know how much I love it.
Rare fans of what? The lore?
No, I probably play the game primarily for the story. Most Mortal
over the
gameplay, titles,
over the online. Yeah.
I've only played the MKX and MK11. MK11, I touched the story. I didn't even play a single game online. All I did was play the story and maybe just feel it around in like arcade modes. But Mortal Kombat 1, I have been dabbling online a bit as well because I do like the mechanics. I like the movement and the different systems. And it's just, there's so much to discover. You know, that you can play your standard type of fighter, but with the cameo system, there's just so much to discover. It's always, you're always peeling a layer back with a character when you try them. So there's just this longevity with each character. It's going to take a long time for you to get bored of a character because your main, whoever that is, you will have fun with them. You'll know them. But then when all these new cameos come out, it just adds a new dimension to each character.
Now, we are going to get into a bit of spoilers, guys. So, you know, make sure we recommend to play it. So get through the story at least.
Because we'll be talking about story spoilers.
Yeah. Here and there. So, you know, this episode will be just filled with spoilers probably. So if you're wary of that, then maybe come back once you're done. But and the campaign's not that long anyway. You could probably beat it in a day or two. Smashed it out. I really enjoyed it. I especially loved how they dealt with Reptile in this game, Vike. You know how he was just a bit of a jobber in the last few, like he was just an afterthought. And now they've given him this human form. They've really fleshed him out a little bit more, his backstory. He's just a really cool character.
Yeah, it's this is the thing. So this whole story has been rebooted, right? And with that means that they can rewrite characters entirely. And obviously they're still keeping they're tethering very strongly to the original, you know, origins of these characters, you know, Kenshi with his blindness or Johnny Cage being a movie.
There's some things you can't, like Batman, his parents have to die. You know, there's some things you can't, Kenshi has to be blind. Yeah.
So, but you're right, Dan. So, you know, one of the fun things about the reboot is, like you said, you know, Reptile, they've always battled with Reptile as a ninja in the earlier Mortal Kombats, then Reptile as a lizard or a reptilian form. And they've always gone back and forth as who do they put Reptile as, you know, and then there's like the half lizard. They sort of settled on this like half lizard. And what they've done now is this beautiful mixture where he's sort of got a lizard form and a human form. And it's so smartly done. You're right, Dan. Reptile can always be a bit of a goon, just a hired goon. And, you know, giving him that backstory, writing him. And I think that was one thing I really liked about the story. No one, maybe like some of the cameo characters, but no one on the main roster in that appeared in the story was a goon. You know, they were all
no had one. Their own Everyone had their own arc, motivations.
Yeah.
I guess the only one that I thought slightly fell into that might have been Raiko, I think his name is.
Yeah, Raiko. I guess Raiko.
He could have been given a little bit more, but besides that.
And I think any fans of the 3D era, Armageddon, Deception, Deadly Alliance, you will have a lot of fun with this.
Why?
You will thoroughly enjoy. Well, okay, we'll go into story spoilers, I guess. So obviously, Mortal Kombat Deadly Alliance being, you know, Shang Tsung, Quan Chi.
What game was that, 5?
Must have been 5, the fifth one or so.
5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously Armageddon, right? So anyone who's played Mortal Kombat Armageddon, I think is it the intro cutscene where they're fighting on the stairs where everyone fights each other running up these stairs, like that scene, it like happens again, right? It's a throwback to the Armageddon where they're saying there are now so many heroes and so many villains that the world is going to just destroy itself. And that's what Armageddon was sort of alluding to. So it was just really good to see that Deadly Alliance and Deception and things like that. So the 3D era, and then obviously 3D era characters, Havoc and Natara. Reiko, okay,
Natara might be the other one that didn't get much. Fox.
The less we heard of Megan Fox, the better, man. That was some horrendous voice acting, I have to say.
Yeah, I feel like there was some delivery that was good, and then others just fell completely flat. It was like it was rushed or something.
Yeah.
Which it probably was. They probably had her for a day and got to get through all of this.
One thing and this is probably why I love Mortal Kombat and NetherRealm, is that I don't really know how profitable a story mode is for them. With all the mechanics, with all the grind, with all the online, it seems counterintuitive for a fighting game to have a story, because that's not where they get their money. That's not where they get the life of this game, you know, in tournaments and Evo and stuff. And they still do it. They still put a lot of effort into it. It kind of reminds me of Call of Duty campaign where, you know, these studios, I know they're so rich they can do it, but they don't need to. They won't be losing much if there's not a
campaign. Yeah, I feel like you have to these days.
But it's not even a half-assed thing. They put so much effort, time and effort into this NetherRealm have with Mortal Kombat that and I'm always thankful for that, because I am probably someone who really just plays the offline stuff. And I love the arcade ladder, the classic, you know, defeat the arcade ladder with every character to unlock their special ending. And then, you know, you've got invasions, which invasions mode is online, but it's more of a non-competitive offline format.
How many hours can you sink into invasion? Because you obviously got the story, you got the ladders, you got the online. There's a lot of replayability. What about the invasion?
Invasions is a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. There's all those
hours and hours.
Unlock. Yeah. There are ways to cheese it. For anyone who wants to do it quickly, put all your stats into strength. You can choose between automatic leveling or manual leveling. Choose manual and then put every stat point to strength. And you can probably down two people in two goes. You can kill them with the down two in two goes if you really get your strength up. And keep your 15% XP medallion. That's all.
Thanks for the tips,
Dan. Yeah, you'll fly through it.
Is that how it was intended to be played?
I don't know. They haven't patched it, so who knows? And here's the thing, right? Like, yeah. So I've just always thanked them for that. And NetherRealm have always got into the grind a bit, and that's right. One thing where they're like, it's just too much. I feel like where
too much,
you know,
what?
Injustice or Mortal Kombat 11 with the grind of the crypt,
and all that.
So Invasions is in a way that grind, because there is so just in one world there is so many activities, which is great, but it's a lot of things you need to do to unlock this content, get this currency, that sort of thing. But it's fun. I'm enjoying it. I think I could see where it does start bottoming out, where it does start boring, because, you know, you've sort of experienced all the different types of activities. And I think one thing for me with invasions is every time they're one round matches, but like every time you have to see a victory, you have to see the menu, you have to go back, you have to see the intro. It's like, if they just streamline that, you have to run to the next thing. It's like, I don't know. I feel like if they just streamline that, invasions would probably be much more palatable for a lot of people. Yeah, there's so much there already. And I do like the unlock system for each character. It looks like a battle pass, but it's not.
Are there microtransactions?
There's not for the battle, not for that character progression thing. You can't like unlock, you can't buy.
I couldn't find any sort of store to buy skins or anything like that. So
there is, if you go to the extras, there is this shrine. You can put money in and it gives you stuff. It's like a loot box.
And you can buy money.
No, you can put money in there, but I'm assuming you can buy those combat coins at a store somewhere. I'm sure you can.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's right. I haven't seen any real egregious spending, and the invasions mode is a good fun. I think it's actually still really fun, a fun way of unlocking stuff and doing stuff. I recommend, Dan, just putting an hour into it and just seeing what you think. And I think you'll be like, oh, this is actually pretty fun. It's very RPG like, where you have to put stats, you have to equip talismans and medallions, and you know, there's like fire, you know, there's ice, there's magic, there's all those
different
stat boosters and stuff. So it is, there's a lot there. So I think what I'm really happy about with MK1 is that there is a lot of content. But I guess going back to the story, Dan, yeah, like you said, I think everyone that's on the main roster, yeah, maybe with exceptions like Reiko, they had good arcs. They were written well. They had good origins. It was really good to see.
Were there any you took, like, how did you find Scorpion and Sub-Zero, the change in that? That's a big change. Brothers.
Yeah, and Bi-Han, there's no noob Cybot because, Bi-Han's still Sub-Zero, and Kuai Liang is Scorpion now. So obviously in the original storyline, Kuai Liang was like Bi-Han's brother, but Kuai Liang became Sub-Zero after Bi-Han died at Scorpion's hand, and then he became noob Cybot. But then there's no Scorpion. Hanzo is
in the multiverse, though.
He's in the multiverse.
They've mentioned him.
But they've mentioned him, but he's not really in the game. It's Kuai Liang that becomes Scorpion. He's Scorpion. He starts a Shirai Ryu. Like, it's very different. I'm like, where is Hanzo here? But I like it.
Was Smoke always their brother?
No, Smoke was part of the Lin Kuei, and he was always behind.
Like, I know he's not their real blood, but
Kuai Liang's bestie.
Because he's quite close to Scorpion in this one. Obviously, he's played by Yuri Lowenthal, who does
I like Yuri. He was always close to Kuai Liang, which is Scorpion now in this timeline. So he was always close to that person. Now that person is Scorpion.
Is it weird that it's Spider-Man and Jin Sakai?
Yeah, I
Scorpion and Smoke.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't realize it was Daisuke who was playing Scorpion, but it makes sense. Yeah. It is pretty cool. But look, the rewrites, like you said, Dan, I some might find controversial. I think it is still controversial. Like, where is Hanzo Hasashi? And I know, like, that character has been the face. I mean, Scorpion, I know, but that character has been the face of the game for so long. I know Ed Boon hasn't forgotten about him, and they're going to bring him in.
But that's why I think that's why they've done this. Scorpion's always been a bad guy, but he's the face. So why not make the face of the brand a good guy moving forward?
Yeah, that's true. You're not wrong. And I think the other thing is what you got to realize is this story is primarily set in Edinia. You know, you don't really see the other realms. It kind of, I guess, makes sense that characters like Scorpion, characters like, you don't see Outworld really. So
it gets mentioned quite a lot.
Yeah, it gets mentioned quite a lot. But, you know, that means that characters like the Special Forces characters like Sonya and Jax or Kano, Cabal, the Black Dragon, the Red Dragon even. You don't really see much of that. And I'm glad. Like, I'm actually glad they showed restraint that these main characters like Sonya and Jax, who have been in pretty much every Mortal Kombat, Kano, Cabal, those sort of people, because the story didn't need them to be there, they didn't put them in. They didn't just write them in, which I really like to show that restraint. And now there's so much to explore in the next subsequent Mortal Kombats because, you know, they're just focused on this one area and they've just focused on fleshing out this character, the origins and all that sort of stuff.
Do you think when they write the story, in the back of their mind, they're planning out that there's going to be fights here, and here because we need... Do you reckon that... Because we were talking about this off air. It's the one thing with these games, how they're sort of stuck where because you've got to play a character in the story for 3 or 4 fights. So you've got to set up them to have three or four fights every time for every chapter.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one because you can't go between different characters because then the player will be confused in terms of the gameplay and they already don't really give you much of a tutorial. So, and then by the time you've had those 3 to 4 fights, you're feeling good with the character and you move on. And then you've got to start again with a new one and learn them. It's a very interesting dynamic with these fighting games that I don't think they've found the perfect formula yet to this.
Mm. Yeah. Like Dan and I were talking about this and we were saying like, it is a NetherRealm formula. It started with probably maybe even MK versus DC.
Yeah,
where they had that campaign mode. That was one of their first, and they've done it in the way that each chapter is a different character. That's great, where you get to experience the whole roster, get to experience everyone's arc. But we're sort of saying, well, the thing is, it does lock you into that arc, you know. So chapter two is Johnny Cage. Yep, you focus on him, you learn a lot. That's great. You see his arc,
but then he gets kind of left behind, doesn't he?
Johnny Cage is a bad example because he's always in the story, but. What in this particular game, but where Ashura or something like that, where Ashura had her arc and that was great, but you kind of don't really speak to her or see her once her 4 chapters are done, and you have to force every bit of Ashura's story into that chapter. So it is they're trying to balance gameplay and narrative storytelling, I guess. And yeah, it is. There is. It's maybe sort of plateauing in its effectiveness. I would love to see a more interwoven story. One thing I always see the classic NetherRealm is that it's not padding out fights, but every character has to have 4 fights, right? Yeah. So there's I always see this where there's always one of these fights, Dan, is always a miscommunication. It's like, oh, you're the enemy. And then they go into a fight. And then after the fight, they're like, oh, you're not the enemy.
Because
you're a good
if
guy.
You don't, you're going to be versing the same people every time. Yeah. So these are limitations that they've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, look, I really like what they did with a lot of the characters. Like, I love Johnny Cage in this. I spoke to the actor. He's great. I love the movie references. And
I think it's just the boldness that I really appreciated because, let me put it like this, when you reboot an entire universe, like, you think about how many people are pissed off about Star Wars being rebooted and all, like, you know, not rebooted, but, you know, all the Legends stuff going away or any change to lore is fans, not a fan, you know, they probably react negatively most of the time. And for Mortal Kombat, or for NetherRealm to completely reboot this story, this universe. And it wasn't just like, you know, here's a new universe, the same thing is going to happen. There are permanent changes. We've already talked about a few with the Lin Kuei, Sub-Zero and Scorpion, or with the Reptile. Even the fact that Mortal Kombat, the tournament, is now not like this deadly fighting tournament. It's like this, you know, because he's like, oh, do you know, oh, you might die. And they're like, nah, no one's died, ever died in this tournament. And I'm like, you know, and it only makes sense that Liu Kang would want to do that. But the fact that they've changed that, or Baraka is now, it's a disease. It's not like a new, it's
dude,
not like
Baraka, I feel sorry for him now. He's gone from this like villain to, you know, you feel sorry for him.
Yeah, and it's funny that he's like a hero now, and that's great. Or Shao Kahn being subservient to Sindel, Raiden.
What do you think of Shang Tsung?
Yeah, that was the one I wanted to go to. I thought that was really cool. I loved that it was because Raiden and Garrus, I mean, not Raiden, I guess Liu Kang and Garrus. I love that Garrus was in it, by the way, because I wasn't a huge fan of him in the previous game, but I loved him in this one. And so Liu Kang and Garrus rebooted it. They're like, you know what? And they've placed Shang Tsung and Quan Chi in places where they could never be evil. They gave them meaningless lives. They never should have even interacted. And we saw this outside third party that's brought them together as a deadly alliance. And we all thought it was Kronika, who is a villain, the main villain from MK11. You know, she's an elder god. She's the mother of all the other elder gods and things like that. So, yeah, look, Shang Tsung, because there's technically two Shang Tsungs. This is obviously heavy spoilers. There's obviously two Shang Tsungs. There's this universe's Shang Tsung, which I liked him. I thought it was great. Voice acted really well. Great characterization. Yep. He was sort of that classic conniving, like even in his meaningless life, he was still this like deceitful guy trying to rip people off. And I think that was Batista at the start, was it? I don't know if that was.
What do you mean?
That opening scene with Shang Tsung and the guy, and there was that guy who's like, you gave me the elixir and it worked nothing. My daughter still died.
I'm going to have to go back and have a look.
Yeah, because Batista did all the advertising for Mortal Kombat. Like, he was in the Mortal Kombat ad.
You think they snuck him in?
I don't know. I thought it could have been, but who knows. But that being said,
I'll check it out, yeah. What did you think of Sindel, Katana, Melina, that storyline?
Yeah. Yeah,
Tanya.
No Jade, which is really interesting.
Well, she was mentioned again plenty of times. Mentioned
again. But I loved it. I thought it was great. Even Chameleon made a cameo there. In the story, not as a character. But yeah, it was really well done. You know, it obviously focused around them. Sindel was done so well because they sort of butchered her in the previous games, in the previous storyline. I think they really did a bad job.
So what was the difference in this one, do you think?
Well, she was like evil and it was really hard to follow, but she wanted to be this whole time. And yeah, I don't
too much going on. Yeah,
and it was just really badly written. But here, it's like, you know, she's back to the good Sindel. We've never really had the good Sindel, and then when the bad Sindel came from the previous timeline, it was good. And how powerful she was! It was just really well done. I thought it was really good.
And the death scene? Did you expect that?
Yeah, that was really sad. I kind of expected it. Someone had to die, and it was nice that Sindel.
If it was Marvel, no one has to die.
No one died. But it was nice that Sindel's now in Ermac's body, and so she'll still be there. She's.
But how did that? How is she still playable? How are they going to work with that?
They'll figure out something.
Yeah,
I mean, like, it's cool that she's a playable character because she's actually really fun. She can, like, part of her moveset is she can control the other cameo character, the enemy's cameo character,
which is a really unique way of doing it. Yeah.
And Melina having Tarkat, you know, it's good because Melina's not just this evil. Because in the older story, obviously the former timeline, she was just a clone of Katana, created and then injected with Baraka's race.
Tarkat, the disease.
So now they've done that where she's got that Tarkatan-ness in her, but it's the disease. And I thought that was really creatively done. But she's still like good, you know. She's not just this like evil for no reason.
Do you think they'll make her evil? Like it'll get a hold of her? What do you think they're going to do with her?
See, this is the one thing I am a bit worried about. Ermac's good.
Everyone's
the other
good.
One you said the Sindel's good. There's someone else you mentioned.
Baraka.
Before, like Baraka.
Reptile.
Melina. Yeah. So it's like, but here's the thing. They do have good villains still. They have Reiko, Shao Kahn, Shang Tsung.
Well, I hope they introduce new characters.
Quan Chi.
Havoc new characters. Is there.
I like the characters that they've sort of treated as like good or anti-hero. They've done well. I think they've actually made it good.
Oh, there's hundreds of characters. I wouldn't be worried about it. There's too many good characters.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about too many about the, you know, all these bad characters are good now. They're almost written better as good as well. So it's exciting. And I think the main twist of the story, which I want to talk about and praise Mortal Kombat for, is the fact that Shang Tsung or Kronika is actually the Shang Tsung of the former timeline. It's not Kronika.
Well, you found that was, you love that.
Oh, I remember I messaged you guys when I experienced that. I'm like, I got to commend these guys because they've done something that no other game has really done. And for me, that is in Mortal Kombat Aftermath, the DLC for Mortal Kombat 11, there was two endings. So you could either do the final part as Liu Kang or do the final part as Shang Tsung. If Liu Kang, and we all thought, okay, Liu Kang is obviously the canon one. Shang Tsung's just there for fun. Sort of like how in Injustice 2, you could end the game as Batman winning or Superman winning. Obviously,
Batman is
the good one, is the canon ending. That's canon. Superman's just there for fun. But here, what they said is the fight between Shang Tsung and Liu Kang in that Aftermath fight was so grand, it ripped the fabric of time and two timelines were created. One where Liu Kang won, which is the timeline we're experiencing now, where he resets the universe. And one where Shang Tsung won. And I'm like, that is so well written that they still managed, because that's always been the problem of the two ending games. What's the canon ending? I just thought it was really well done that Mortal Kombat were able to actually save both endings and bring them into the game like in one fluid way. And it was done so, I was just so impressed because I haven't seen any other game with two endings or multiple endings where they've had to do that because they've always had to pick a canon ending. But they were able to do it both here, and I thought it was just...
That's what I thought they did brilliantly, the way that they cater to the fans in this game but also are able to bring in new people. If you're new to this series and this is your first Mortal Kombat, you'll have a great time. You'll understand the stories. You'll learn the characters. You'll end up loving some of them, and you'll be thrusted into this world. And if you're like you or me, you know, either way, they've balanced it perfectly.
It's a perfect reboot in the way that, like you said, Dad, if you're new to the game, you will not lose out on anything about not knowing any prior. You're not losing out.
No.
You're experiencing everything.
But well, they go into so much depth if you're looking for it. There's a lot of lore there if you want to look for it.
If you do know the previous timeline, it's just a bonus. It's not like you really need to know it. It's just cool that you're seeing history repeat itself. You're seeing this and this. Oh, it's different here. But for someone new to Mortal Kombat, they don't need anything. They don't need to know anything. And it's just really exciting. It's really exciting time for Mortal Kombat. The fans of the story and the lore seeing, everything's rebooted. There's still so much to discover and talk about with where are all the main characters like Jax, Sonya, Jade. You know, what are they doing? Where are they? There's so much to explore with them. You know,
what about the DLCs coming?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, exactly right. And
Peacemaker, Homelander,
Omni-Man,
Takeda,
who's Kenshi's son.
Now, who was leaked for the second pack? Wasn't there a leak?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Doomguy?
Yeah. That was actually pretty funny. So,
I can't imagine that is pretty strange, but that'd be cool if it happened. But
there'd be no talking, right? So, like, what are they going to do?
No, he does talk. He does talk, but not much.
So They said the new fighters would be Kano and Serena, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes cameos, sense.
And you kind of want to. And then they said Doom Slayer. They said Noob Saibot, which is very interesting because I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's going to be Noob Saibot? Is it? It's not Bi-Han. Is it going to be Hanzo? Like, I don't know what they're going to do, but that's going to be a very brave thing. Whatever they, if they make Hanzo Noob, that is.
They did mention Noob in this game a couple of times. Yeah, they did. In the maybe, intros.
Yeah, in the intros. Harley Quinn, that actually kind of makes sense as a guest. Doomslayer and Net.
That's kind of lame. No offense. The DC ones are kind of not as good now.
I know. They've done injustice. Like Deathstroke. Yeah. Like, I don't know why he's there. Cameo fighters, Rain. I don't know why Rain would be cameo when he's already main roster.
Oh, okay. I thought Rain was the weakest character in the game. I'll have to say that.
Yeah.
I forgot about him. He was the weakest by far.
But I do like that they made him a mage and not just like another ninja. They gave him a bit there. He's like the high mage of Edenia. But I think there's just more to talk about with him later, like in later games.
I just think he's a boring character.
Yeah, he's not.
His motivations and his the way he plays, just everything about it.
He's Jordan's main in the one Mortal Kombat 9. Yeah, he loved Rain.
What a dumbass.
So there's also Draman.
Do you know my main?
Suhao.
Do you know who my main was for years? Guess. Kung Lao. But in this game, I'm not gelling with him.
He doesn't.
I like that he's cocky. I like his the story. You know, he's a young gun. He's a bit cocky. But gameplay wise, they've changed him up a little bit. So I kind of have been gravitating towards actually Liu Kang. I really like Liu Kang. Yeah,
Liu Kang's good because he's
a badass in this one.
Yeah, and he's quite good with his the tool sets he has. So
Johnny Cage is really pretty good as well. He's top tier. Is he?
Yeah, he's my man. Yeah. I love Johnny. Johnny's always been my favorite since MK9, like favorite character. Hands down.
Really?
I love Johnny Cage. Yeah. I like there is no character even close for my
I thought you were Aaron Black main.
No, Aaron. I don't think I played a minute of Aaron Black.
Who did you main in the last few?
Johnny.
Really?
I think I did a bit of Cassie Cage in MK10.
Were you ever Cyrax?
Nah. It's always for me being Johnny Cage and then way lower on the spectrum.
Cassie.
Kenshi. I always love Kenshi.
Kenshi.
Yeah. Smoke, Kenshi, and Johnny Cage are probably my three favorites.
I like Kenshi in this game. Yeah, he's really cool. Good story. Good bromance with Johnny.
That actor, he's always the guy on the Gameology videos. You know, like the martial artists react. He's the guy.
He's the face. Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah, so that's exciting. But I just really like the way they dealt with the story. I know it's another multiverse story, but I know there's multiverse fatigue because everything's a bloody universe and a timeline. But I think they did it really well.
Yeah, look, there is a little bit of fatigue for multiverse, but when you got Spider-Verse, those movies who handle it perfectly. I love those movies, the Spider-Verse movies, and I'm looking forward to the third one. And what was another multiverse something? There was another show that dealt with that as well that handled it well. So the last few properties that I've, you know, it can be done quite well. Hmm. Not everything has to be like Marvel
or DC
or, you know.
I just think the only reason why we have superhero fatigue is because the last 3 years have just been trash. Like,
yeah, but I don't consider Mortal Kombat superhero, weirdly. I know it kind of is.
Yeah.
But I don't really.
All I'm saying is more that fatigue comes less from there's too much of it, and more that it's just the quality is so bad, we're just getting sick of it. Because if you're getting constantly Avengers Endgame quality, you wouldn't be complaining. I wouldn't be complaining. I'm getting Star Wars fatigue, not because Star Wars is crap. It's because I'm getting trashy movies and. Like, you know what I mean? Like the TV stuff, I'm okay with because I'm enjoying it. Andor was great. You know, Book of Boba and, you know, Mandalorian are sort of dipping in my opinion, but some of it's still good, right? So the only time I get fatigue is when the quality dips. I get Marvel shows.
Yeah, but you watch every Disney show, Vibe. You're watching every show.
I just think the fatigue is less about there's too much of it and more about it's just the quality is so bad. Like
I heard Ahsoka's good, is it?
Yeah, it's all right. I like it. It's good. But it's like what I'm saying is I don't watch any Marvel shows anymore because they're all trash. They're all terrible. They're all so hard to watch, you know, and so boring, you know. But
you're not looking forward to the Marvel, what is it? Captain Marvel? Nah.
I'm not. I probably won't even watch. That'll probably be the first Marvel movie I don't even end up watching at the cinemas. Like, that's the thing.
You say that.
It's. I mean, that's the thing. It's just so such bad quality that you just get sick of it. So for me, when I'm like you said, Dan, when a multiverse story is done well and written well, like in this, I'm all for it. I don't feel the fatigue.
Like one thing when I played through this game and these characters are really they're fleshing them out. They've got such a great roster of characters, MK. Mm. Such a good. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, are these characters being limited by this gameplay formula? What could they do with these characters in a different gameplay sense? In what could be possible if they had a Johnny Cage game? Doesn't have to be third person action, but it could be. Yeah, and what could you do with that? Or even a Scorpion Sub-Zero game? Like, there's so much potential they could do if they let that run, but they probably never will. They'll probably continue to do what they do best. But I was thinking about that. Like they've got all these great characters and they're not being fully utilized. Because at the end of the day, they only get an hour or two of cutscenes in these games. Bit of gameplay, this and that, and then we move on. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I would say what you want might not be as far-fetched as you think because Mortal Kombat mythologies, Mortal Kombat Special Forces, Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks were all spin-off games made by, well, Midway at the time, but Ed Boon, right? John Tobias. So Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero was a Sub-Zero-only side-scroller type beat-em-up game. You know, you still had the combos and stuff, but it was side-scroller, 2D.
Yep.
And it was just focused on Sub-Zero. Serena was in it and stuff.
But that's on the PS1.
You're right.
Yeah.
But
they have done it before, yeah.
Shaolin Monks and Special Forces were both third person.
That's what I mean, Vike. Shaolin Monks was my first MK game,
yeah,
believe it or not.
And you're right, because it's like Special Forces are its own thing. Jack, Sonya, Kano. That's its own. You could write hours of story.
Yes, yes.
The Shaolin Monks. You could write hours of story. The Lin Kuei. You could write hours of story. The Edenians. Like, the beauty of the way they've done the story is each faction have their own self-contained arcs and stories that you really could explore it like that, Dan. And
that's what I find myself. Yeah. I find myself wanting to have more content.
Yeah. I would love for them
the to opposite do like effect of a Marvel. I want less from them, more from
and more from these guys. Like I would love that, but it's just I don't know how profitable that is. But you're right, Dan. Like,
no, that love, yeah, exactly.
I would love like a Special Forces because we don't know where they are. We don't know Jax, Kano. Kano's not even in this game in the story, right?
You can't tell me a Sub-Zero Scorpion sort of game where it's like third person sort of Wolverine style gameplay wouldn't do well.
Oh,
profitable. Yeah, come so on. Well. Yeah. It'd probably do better than MK in sales. It's probably got more reach.
It's got more possibility. Type game, you know?
Yeah.
Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Smoke, Frost, Cyrax, and Sektor.
Because each person can have their, like, as you said, you could do the Jax and Sonya. You could do that and it could be a shooter. Like, there's so many different things you could do with the characters.
It's an exciting time, I think. But look, I just think narratively they've done such a good job. I think the reboot has been such a smart way of, because I remember, I think it was Ed Boon saying they were running out of ideas after MK11 about what to do with the story, where to take it.
Well, I found that a strange comment, actually.
Yeah, I could see it. They sort of explored all the different arcs. It's like, what else do you do? Johnny Cage and Sonya were together. Jax, you know, he was a dad. Scorpion and Sub-Zero squashed their beef. You know, it was like, what else is there to really do? So I kind of thought it was pretty smart because now they could do the next 10 years of storylines. You know, they've got so much to do. And I love the lore in these games. So, but yeah, I mean, do you have any? I mean, I think the story was phenomenal. We haven't even gotten onto the gameplay yet, but
yeah, no, the gameplay. I like the cameo addition.
Yeah, I think
that cameo added an extra element to it all.
They've always had a new system. MKX had their variations, and just
I didn't like the variations at all. I actually hated the variations. Hated it.
I forgot what Injustice.
I hated all that shit. It went way too far. It reminded me of Yu-Gi-Oh. Yu-Gi-Oh, yes. I used to love Yu-Gi-Oh, and then they added in so many different elements to Yu-Gi-Oh that now you could play a turn in Yu-Gi-Oh to take you 30 minutes to do one turn. It's so complicated. Fuck that.
But, like you said, Dan, the cameo system, it's just so well done because you've got the base, because what I think is so good about this is you've got the base game of Mortal Kombat. Let's say the cameo system wasn't there. The gameplay and combos would still be fun. But boy, does the cameos add a layer of creativity, flexibility, difficulty, fun. You can extend combos. You can play defensively and offensively. Characters that can't teleport now can with a cameo. Characters that don't zone can zone now. You know, there is deflecting. There's just so much utility in the cameo system. And, in the older Mortal Kombat, you could probably do 40% combos and these elite 40%, 50% combos. Now that you probably can't do that because you need a cameo to pull it off. But while the way I see it is they might have dialed the game back 10%. Because that 10% now is done by cameos, but they've just increased it by like another 50%, where the cameos doesn't just, it's not like they said, we're going to dial the game back and then that part that's been dialed back, we'll make that back up with cameos. They've made that back up and gone way further in terms of creativity, flexibility. You know, they haven't just strong-armed the gamers into forcing them into using cameos as well. It's like you want to use them. They're so much fun. They can link combos together. They can play on.
Well, the way they can link combos is crazy. I'm sure you've seen some of it.
And what I think is so much fun is that, you know, when I first saw the cameos, I'm like, I'm not even going to care if there's a new cameo. Like, it's not going to really do much for me. It's like the new character. That's what I want. But now it's like, no, cameos, man. Like, I can't wait to see DLC cameos because when I have Johnny Cage and I played hundreds of hours with him, I'm going to see a new cameo and go, man, this is going to open up a whole new way I can play with Johnny Cage with just cameos. And it's just this interplay between them is so well done because while in other games, in other Mortal Kombats, the creativity and the fun and the flexibility and the exploration, the design is based on the characters. Here, all that is actually centers around the cameo. If you don't have a good cameo system here, you've actually got a pretty bare bones main roster in terms of what you can do. So all the fun is based on the cameo. All the exploration is a cameo. So I just thought it's really well done. You can't spam it, or I don't feel like it's spammy.
I've noticed that the zoning is a lot more manageable in this game. Everyone's got a much better count, like much better counters to it all. Some of the zoning is very slow frame rate. You know what I mean? They've thought about it. It's actually it's kind of slow paced, the gameplay, but it can also ramp up in pace. I don't know how to describe it. It's not that it's slow. It's just a bit more methodical or a bit more. I just love the way it plays. Like they've really just refined it perfectly.
I think people complained initially that the movement was slow in the game in the beta. They fixed that. They've made movement. You can now dash. You can now dash cancel your blocks. Dash block, like cancel via blocks. You can now cancel, which is great. So, but the combos are slow in a good way. Like they're longer in terms of time.
Yes.
So kind of just makes things more fluid, more slower, more easily palatable.
And the meter's different now, super meter.
Yeah. And it's not as reactive as fast as MKX, where everything was so twitchy. So I just think it's so much fun. And it makes the cameos fun. Like you said, I don't really see any zone spam. They've sort of dealt with that issue really well.
You've also, but there is one thing, like Tekken does it too, where if you're low on health, you can do a big move.
Comeback mechanic.
Comeback mechanic. Which is great for casuals. Like,
yeah.
If we're, all of us are playing and someone's dominating, then they can get back in the fight and there's a bit of hype now. It's close. Who's going to win? Great. But competitively, I don't know how that, what people think. I'm sure they don't like it.
Yeah. It was an issue in MK11, the fatal blow, because it was what they realized is that it was coming back too quickly. And so it just became this annoying system and mechanic. It was too long. I think the issue was, right, so in MK9 and MKX, you had the X-ray after 3 bars, right?
Yeah. But
no one was using it. Why would you? A break is 2 bars, EXing is 1 bar. No one would ever use the X-ray.
Not on competitive, so,
yeah, it's just too expensive. So what they decided to do is keep the meter fair, you know, using breakers and EXing, but then they kept the fatal blow so that people in competitive can use it. And you kind of get a bit of both, which is great. And you're right, Dan, it is a bit of a comeback mechanic. But I do like the fact that when I'm dominating someone, which is rare, but when I'm winning and you see the fatal blow thing come up for them, you got to be like, oh, crap, you know, I got to be a bit safer here. They could whip it out at any time. And it kind of, I don't know, it kind of does make it interesting where it does change things. And now you've got cameos to space yourself out, be less prone to attack.
I guess it is slow to come out. Like it's, you can, it's not unblockable, is it?
Because the other thing in MK11, the fatal blow was like this armored move that happens on button press.
Yes.
Here, you've got that animation, like an Injustice where they do their little pose.
Exactly.
And that's, and now it's way more manageable where you have to combo into it or you have to, you kind of have to combo into it because if you put the fatal blow
on. Or react to one of their,
And you see them do it, you're just going to block. So that was, I think you're right, Dan. That was a problem in K11 where you just press fatal blow, they'll just go into it with armor and it's annoying. But here it's like no one can, you can't just whip out a fatal blow because they're going to see it and you're going to block it. So you got to be smart about
Honestly, I would put this in a game of the year contention, but it won't be because it's a fighting game and it's a reboot and it's Mortal Kombat. But I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I really do. It's super fun. Super fun. Love the story. It never got boring. You know, it never slowed down. Good pacing, good variation.
Yeah.
I think there was about 15 chapters.
Yeah, it's good. I think 16.
And
I think, you know, yeah, maybe it took a while to start, get going, but I still think it was interesting because you're starting from the beginning of the universe. Like, you got to take it.
I liked Madame Bo and Kung Lao and Raiden.
They say a DLC character will be Bo Raicho. Now, Bo Raicho in the older games is like this fat man. He's like the drunken fist sort of. But they called her Madame Bo, and I'm thinking like, okay, maybe Bo Raicho's now that female character because she could fight. You saw her fight. And
she should be a character. She's cool.
Yeah. I my theory is that she's Bo Raicho now, that they've changed it. Because the other thing is, they mentioned that Raiden has a sister in this game. In MK.
Yeah, what was that about?
But in the previous timeline, he has a brother, which is Fujin. Fujin is Raiden's brother.
Yeah, but they mentioned Fujin, didn't they?
But no, I think that's his. I think Fujin's a girl now.
Okay.
So they've done some cool ideas, and I'm excited to see it. There's still so much they've got to explore. You know, so many characters. It's exciting, man. And
they're going to start working on MK2?
I don't know what they're going to call it, but yeah, MK2.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that they do. I hope they're still, you know what, Dan, they could probably do an entire roster of characters that don't even touch MK1, but you're still going to have a good, I mean, they won't do that, but you could still have a good time. You've still got, let me think, if you really think about the characters that are left, like these main, like, let me think about this. So
yeah, I know what you mean. There's plenty that they could bring in. But yeah, by the time that they do the DLC for this game, I'm sure a lot of them will come in, like Ermac coming in. And
yeah, but I mean, Ermac and Quan Chi are coming in. But then, you know, you think about like Jax and Sonya. You've got.
Well, I'm sure they're coming.
Cabal, Kano. You've got, you know.
I'm sure they're coming too. Striker's boring. I hope they reboot him.
I know, because I love Striker. I love him.
He could be awesome if they reboot him and give him the right.
Think about Cyrax and Sektor. We didn't see them. Yeah. You know, we didn't really see you know, a lot of characters, I think. So there's still so many that's exciting to see.
Wonder if like Ronda Rousey's coming back as Sonya Blade.
Sonya Blade. But it's just exciting to see where the game's at. And the cameo system, I think, is great. The fighting mechanics are done well. I think most people are quite pleased with it. There's not any annoying things that...
What's your biggest criticism, Vike, that you want them to address for the next game? I hope that they do try something different with the story next time, the way it's layered.
Yeah.
The way it's...
I agree.
Even if they could more test your mites or more stuff like that that breaks it up.
Or do you know what it is? Yeah, I think that would be good. I also think, Dan, rather than maybe here's a thing they could do. Rather than focusing on doing each chapter being a character, you could sort of make each chapter a faction. So and make it like that, Dan, like with the Shaolin monks, the Lin Kuei. Make them almost 3D in its way, or for, I don't know, like that's going too crazy. But you know what I mean? They could really change things up.
Yeah, no, three different stories that play out in the same timeline. Yeah. And you can see how each character ended up in the end. Yeah, something like that. Play around with it.
Yeah. I would say the mechanics, the cameo system is so good. I hope it doesn't go away. I mean, NetherRealm always just introduce a new mechanic and then you don't really see it for the next game, which kind of sucks. So I'm like, will we see the cameo system again? I don't know. But it's so good, man, because like it just opens up the amount of characters you can have. And yeah, I mean,
would they ever do a tag team thing? Like Tekken Tag?
They did MK9. They had tag team. So maybe that's the next logical step. Who knows?
No, I mean like ingrained into the core mechanic. You have to pick two.
Yeah. See,
you can have the two intros against another two. There's a lot of banter there. Like, there's a lot of options you could do that.
And like how cameos are required to do big combos, maybe you have to tag in the next person. Like, you know, if there's tag combos, but that's just going to.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. I don't think they're going to do that. That's too much. I mean,
they could do it that when they tag in, they have a tag attack. That's like your cameo. And then it goes into a new character. And I just think it's a great game. I think the mechanics are done well. They've answered a lot of the fans, you know, straight away when fans are like, this game's too slow. They increase the walk speed, the movement speed. They said, we can't dash cancel. They allowed dash canceling. So it's good that they're also answering those sort of things.
So where does this rank from out of the last few for you? Do you think it's better than the last few?
Oh, yeah. For me, this is probably my second favorite. I think MK9 will always be my favorite.
I think MK9's just ahead.
Yeah.
I'd put this second.
Yeah, I'd put this very close second because I'm having a lot of fun playing this game. I'm playing online. It's just a lot of fun. And doing combos is a lot of fun.
It could be the nostalgia why we love 9. I'd have to go back to 9.
Yeah.
And see.
I still want more mini games. Like, I wish there was, like, Test Your Might, Test Your Sight, whatever it is. And, like, you know, Mortal Kombat Armageddon had like combat kart. It was like Mario Kart. That combat chess, combat Tetris. It was so funny.
Well, we don't need that, but I'm just saying, like, in the campaign they had Test Your Might. There was only like four.
There wasn't many.
There wasn't many.
Yeah. And that's invasions, you see it a lot, I guess. The invasion mode, you'll see it a bit. But still, like you said.
Not that's some revolutionary thing. It's just button mashing for 5 seconds.
It's just fun, mate. Minigame. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always been
a staple of Mortal Kombat. Like, it's been in the original Mortal Kombat. Like, it was there since the beginning. So it's always a fun, like, mini game. I definitely think check out Invasions, Dan, even if you have half an hour. Just check it out.
I will. I'm going to play it tonight or tomorrow. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to sink some time in, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just think it's a good game, and they haven't seemed too egregious in the way they've monetized it.
I'm going to platinum this game, Vike, and I think you should too. It's pretty easy. It's not that hard.
Oh yeah, I'll do a platinum. Maybe I'll do everything but one trophy.
Reach Invasions level 20. That's not that hard, is it?
No, that's not hard. No, that's just like I said, Dan.
Perform 10 brutalities. I mean, how easy is that?
Yeah.
This is some of the stuff here. It's just...
Keep the talisman that you get equipped that gives you XP bonus. Keep that.
Can you write this down for me, mate? I kind of want... Yeah.
Just put everything in strength. You'll be fine. Okay. That's it. Those are the two things. Keep the talisman, everything in strength, and you'll be right. But
do you pick a character or what?
Yeah, you can throughout invasions, like every after the every round, you can change your loadout, which your loadout is your character, the cameo, the stats, the talisman, the relics you put, all that.
So you were Johnny.
Yeah. And then I'm fiddling around with different cameos, which is fun. I can try new things and have a good time. But
so last one, who else are you playing besides Johnny? Anyone else?
At the moment, all I'm doing is Johnny Cage. I just, you know, the problem with me in previous Mortal Kombats is like, I'll do a bit of Kenshi, I'll do a bit of Smoke. I'll just choose five characters because I love them. And then I don't just end up being pretty average at all of them. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on one character. And this time it's going to be Johnny Cage. I'm just going to focus on him because I love.
And just get
Johnny
good.
Cage. Yeah, as a character, I just love the idea of Johnny Cage. Like, I just.
But it's really cool the idea of Mania character and just becoming that character in a fighting game and just knowing every move in their arsenal. You've got anything, you know, that when you really main a character and you just know it at any point you can do this, that.
And you get the flexibility. Something
cool about it.
You get the freshness of a new cameo. Like, oh, I might try Johnny Cage with Motaro. I might try, you know, him with Frost or Kano. Yeah, it's exciting.
What are you using with him?
I'm still fiddling around because I'm trying to figure out, like, I think Kano, I'm just trying to figure out how to combo different characters in right now. So
Kano is probably the cheapest with the laser.
Yeah.
Superman eyes.
The nut punch, and you can use his knives and stuff like that. So I'm just trying to figure it out and see if I can combo.
I feel like you would like Smoke.
I love Smoke. Dude, Mortal Kombat 9, I just played Smoke all the time. Johnny Cage and Smoke were the only players I really played. So it was just a lot of fun. Yeah, I love Smoke, man. He's great. Who's your main?
Liu Kang.
And Liu Kang. Your main cameo?
Kano.
He's in the laser or are you
using his knife? The laser. Or? Yeah, I'm a bit lazy. A bit lazy. I'm still fiddling. I didn't mind Frost actually. Yeah.
The Kano's ball is really good because you can hold it. You can hold it in the ball state. So you know. His knives are good for combo.
I find all the cameos have different uses. They're all good.
Yeah.
For different like situations.
Motaro can teleport and he has one that can deflect projectiles. And then he has one that's a projectile. So he doesn't really have much combo potential, but the utility of being able to teleport, being able to deflect, being able to shoot projectiles, that's cool. Scorpion, he can like pull you back. Kung Lao can help you teleport. It's such a
good Kung Lao, as I said, I got really good with Kung Lao in the last few games, but this one I just didn't gel with him. I don't know.
Do Kung Lao with Kung Lao cameo, mate. Get him, go all in.
Oh, you reckon? Yeah, okay. I haven't tried that.
Because... see, your Kung Lao can't teleport, but Cameo Kung Lao can teleport. Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons I don't like him now, because of the teleport.
The teleport was handy, man.
I know.
How many characters really teleport? I guess Scorpion does, but...
his teleport is so slow, Scorpion, now.
They've dealt with it well. Like, it's still good in combos and stuff, but it's good to evade. That's probably what teleport should be. It shouldn't be some cheap tool like Batgirl in Injustice.
I've also noticed that in this game, for your uppercut, down triangle, whatever, down two, you can't combo off it. Could you in the other games?
No, you can never combo off a down two.
In Injustice. I feel like you could in Injustice.
Down two has never been a combo.
I'm sure you could have, but not in this game anyway.
Yeah, well,
there's not many launches, is what I'm saying. There's not many launches.
Yeah, there's
in this
not many
game.
Launches. Yeah. What I'll say is, down two, Dan has historically never been able to combo in Mortal Kombat, and now with cameos, you actually kind of can. So that's a really interesting thing about this game.
Oh, with the cameos, you can. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that's just one example of how cameos just open things up really in a really creative way. But yeah, like you said, Dan, there's actually not many launches. There's a lot of stunning, and that's kind of. Yeah, you've got to commit to a lot of stuff, which makes things really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For instance, in Injustice and even MK11, one thing I didn't like is you can EX a move mid move. So you can sort of throw out something and then wait to see if it hits and then EX it. But in this, you have to EX before. You have to commit to it, and I love that.
Love that.
Yeah, it makes it
This one's saying more methodical. Yeah. More methodical. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't just like...
removing chance,
lasers.
Removing... Yeah.
You know, in Injustice, you would hit his laser, and if it hits, in EX for the second move.
Yeah, like, I know. Oh, God.
You know what that's I mean? So yeah, you have to commit to it before.
I should look up Sonic Fox, see what he's. I know he's a Johnny Cage.
Oh, he is using Johnny and Kenshi. He's Kenshi main, I think.
Yeah. So, he's probably fucking crazy at the game already.
Dude, he is. Dude, his Kenshi is insane. Because Kenshi can whip out a ghost of himself and it disables your cameo, but he's like insane with it.
There's nothing like watching pros go at it at these games.
I know, I'm excited for Evo, man. I'm excited for MK1 Evo. Like,
well, it's a year away, isn't it?
Yeah.
They'll be much better by then. There'll be all sorts of DLC and everything. All right, Vikes, so have you got a final rating on this? You want to give it or not quite yet?
At the moment, I'm on like a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8.5, 9. I'll give it a 9.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Probably a 9, 8 or 9. All right. That being said, Vike, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining me. We'll see you next time, guys. Take care. PlayStation.